Proverbs chapter 25.
The right word at the right time. There are also these proverbs of Solomon, collected by scribes of Hezekiah, king of Judah. God delights in concealing things, scientists delight in discovering things, like the horizons for breadth and the oceans for depth. The understanding of a good leader is broad and deep. Remove impurities from the silver, and the silversmith can craft a fine chalice. Remove the wicked from leadership, and authority will be credible and God-honouring. Don't work yourself into the spotlight. Don't push your way into the place of preeminent prominence. It's better to be promoted to a place of honour than face humiliation by being demoted. Don't jump to conclusions. There may be a perfectly good explanation for what you just saw. In the heat of an argument, don't betray confidences. Word is sure to get around, and no one will trust you. The right word at the right time is like a custom-made piece of jewellery. A wise friend's timely reprimand is like a gold ring slipped on your finger. Reliable friends who do what they say are like cool drinks in a sweltering heat, refreshing. Like billowing clouds that bring no rain is the person who talks big but never produces. Patient persistence pierces through indifference. Gentle speech breaks down rigid defences. A person without self-control. When you're given a box of candy, don't gulp it all down. Eat too much chocolate and you'll make yourself sick. When you find a friend, don't outwear your welcome. Show up all hours and he'll soon get fed up. Anyone who tells lies against the neighbours in court or in the street is a loose cannon. Trusting a double-crosser when you're in trouble is like biting down on an abscess tooth. Singing light songs to the heavy-hearted is like pouring salt in their wounds. If you see your enemy hungry, go buy him lunch. If he's thirsty, bring him a drink. Your generosity will surprise him with goodness, and God will look after you. A north wind brings stormy weather, and a gossipy town stormy looks. Better to live alone in a tumble-down shack than share a mansion with a nagging spouse. Like a cool drink of water when you're worn out and weary is a letter from a long-lost friend. A good person who gives in to a bad person is a muddied spring, a polluted well. It's not smart to stuff yourself with sweets, nor is it glory piled on glory good for you. A person without self-control is like a house with its doors and windows knocked out.
And so again, Proverbs 25 is just full of so much. Actually, you could spend a long time in Proverbs 25, but just to highlight a few things from this great chapter. Verse 6 says, don't work yourself into the spotlight. You know, people just want to have instant fame these days. People want to be noticed. We all need to be noticed, but some people go to extremes to put themselves in the spotlight. In Acts chapter 8, there's a guy called Simon who, when he saw the influence that the disciples had, wanted to buy that power, wanted to buy that influence. It says, when Simon saw the Spirit was given at the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money and said, give me also this ability so that I might pray for people and lay hands on people that they might receive the Holy Spirit. And Peter answered, may your money perish with you because you have thought you could buy the gift of God without money. And Jesus himself tells a story in Luke of being invited to a special meal, to a wedding or to a banquet. And Jesus says, when you get there, don't just run for the best seat next to the guest of honor, because you might be asked to move and that would lead to humiliation. When someone invites you to dinner, don't take the place of honor. Somebody more important than you might have been invited by the host. Then he'll come and call you out in front of everybody that you're in the wrong place. Red face, you'll have to make your way to the very last table, the only place left. Again, it's about knowing who we are in God. and we don't have to kind of jump up and down and make a noise for God to notice us. God knows you. God notices you. Don't have to do anything special. Don't have to pray for 10 hours a day for God to notice you. Don't have to be singing on the top of your voice for God to notice you. God notices you because you're his child. We are his children. And we've got God's attention. I said in one of the other chapters from Proverbs, we need to give God our attention. And within that, we find that security. We don't have to work ourselves into being Mr. or Mrs. Popular. God will bring us to places of prominence if that's right for us, if he chooses. And whatever God leads us into, we walk that path with the humility that he brings to us. And then the next verse says, don't jump to conclusions. I guess at times we're all guilty of jumping to conclusions. Somebody says it's human nature. It seems to dictate that we often see the worst case scenario in everyday situations and suggest that this is because we're under pressure to make quick decisions, usually influenced by preconceived ideas and things we have already experienced in the past. And as a result, we are prone to putting two and two together and making five. Jumping to incorrect conclusions and then making bad decisions based on them. And sometimes we just need to ask ourselves, is there a bigger picture? Do I have all the facts? When Jesus walked this earth and when he was teaching his disciples and when he was doing the miracles, he was often misunderstood. He was often misrepresented, and people would jump into conclusions left, right, and center. The Pharisees and even his own disciples at times jumped to the wrong conclusions. Remember that time when he met the woman at the well, and he was talking to this lady, and the disciples came along and they couldn't believe who he was talking to. They were jumping to all the wrong conclusions. He shouldn't be talking with this man. Doesn't he know who this man is? And disciples, Pharisees, and ourselves also, we can see part of a picture and jump to conclusions. The proverb says, don't jump to conclusions. And it goes on to say, in the heat of an argument, don't betray confidence. In the heat of an argument, don't betray a confidence. You know, somebody tells us something in confidence and we're okay, and then we're almost kind of put into a corner somehow, and we feel the pressure of the situation, and the discussion kind of leads into an argument, and then we kind of blurt out, oh, but they told me, and you think, oh, it's out, and you can't get it back. We need to be people that we can trust. I'll tell you because I know you won't tell anyone else. I wonder whether you've said that or had that. Oh, I can tell you. They told me not to tell anyone, but I know that I can trust you. Even though that they told me not to tell anyone, I can trust you, and I know you won't tell anyone. Or between me, you, and the gateposts. There are so many gateposts that have learned how to talk. It's not helpful. We must be able to trust one another. There are times in our lives when each of us, all of us, need to have that trust of a friend that we can say anything to them, knowing that it won't go any further, that that person will pray for us or give us some godly information that we can make decisions with, but we can have that confidence that I can speak to this person and I know it will not go anywhere else. See, none of us are above temptation. All of us are tempted on a daily basis. But there's probably very few of us that take our temptations to a trusted friend and say, will you pray for me? Because I was tempted this week and I was that close to failing. I was that close to fall in. Or I did fall. I did mess up. I got tempted. I tried to resist. I resisted for a while, but then I gave in to the temptation. Will you just pray for me? Will you help me to find my feet with God? And there could be so much pain avoided if we could but fully trust another individual that we could say what's on our heart to them. We need to know that trust. The world around us, to a degree, has lost its trust in the church, sadly, because of the things that have happened in certain churches. And we need to regain that trust. The church needs to regain that trust. But we start with one another, learning to trust one another. In the heat of an argument, don't betray confidences. We need to be able to trust one another. And just in closing, a few highlights on friendship and trust, obviously, is one of the key aspects of friendship. Verse 13 says, reliable friends who do what they say. We need to be people of our word. If we say we'll do something, we need to follow that through. In verse 10, they have the right word at the right time. And that's the friends that we need. We don't need a friend to give us a lecture. We just need to have a friend that will speak the right word at the right time into our lives. And verse 17 is important as well. Friends don't overstay their welcome. And I don't know whether you've ever felt that. You've had somebody come and visit you and you're okay for the first hour. But now it's the eighth hour and you're getting a bit fed up, but you don't know how to tell them to please go home. Good friends don't overstay their welcome. They're sensitive to the time that you need to spend with one another. And in verse 25, good friends communicate well. Verse 25 talks about the letter of a friend. Communication amongst friends, and particularly at this time, it's so important that as a church, we communicate well with one another so people don't feel they're on their own and they're isolated. But again, that level of communication will deepen with the level of trust that we have for one another. And did I mention, did I see somewhere in that proverb something about a nagging wife?